It may be hard to believe that there are people in the U.S. today who work up to 24-hour shifts for less than minimum wage, legally. But that's the reality for many of California's caregivers. Imelda is 79 years old. She's been working as a caregiver for the past 3 years to support her children in the Philippines.
May trabaho akong nakaraan. Nag-aalaga ako ng matanda.
I usually work caring for the elderly. The last person that I worked with was 87. It was difficult to do this work because I was first hired as a caregiver, but then I was expected to do a lot more. And so I would cook, I would do laundry, I would clean the house, I'd even feed the dog. And there were three people living in that home, so I would care for her and her family members.
Imelda says she was paid $40 a day and was expected to be on call 24 hours. When she asked for more compensation, her employer said no.
Kinausap ko po yung aking employer na.
I said $50 a day. They said, we can't do that because you don't have the right documentation. I'm actually an American citizen, though I don't have formal training like a CNA certificate.
Matanda na ako.
I felt very disrespected. I felt like I was treated like the lowest thing in the world, and it's the reason why all of us domestic workers really need more respect.
Imelda's story is common among caregivers. Two-thirds of all household workers earn wages below the poverty line. This means they can't pay for basic things such as rent and groceries, according to a study by Data Center. In recent years, a number of Filipino community organizations have started programs to support caregivers and other domestic workers. The Filipino Community Center in San Francisco is one of those organizations. It started when more and more of their clients complained of problems with their employers. The organization started filing wage claims against abusive employers. But Mario De Mira, an organizer at the Filipino Community Center, says they were only able to help a small number of workers.
You know, we were seeing that we were helping people file claims and cases against employers, but at the end of the day, there would be hundreds more workers that, you know, needed these issues addressed that were facing these conditions. And if we were just going to help them file cases, it really didn't address the systematic problems within this industry. So I think that was one of the primary issues, was just like, how do we focus on really building workers' power and then also maybe later down the line influencing policy to make it a better industry, a healthier industry? Because also when you have healthier and happier workers, you're going to have healthier and happier patients.
Flora is a caregiver and a client of the community center. She's a frail woman in her late 60s who loves to joke around.
I love taking care of elders because I treat them as my father, mother, or grandfather. And they love me too. So that's why I love my work now as a caregiver.
The most recent wave of Filipino migration started in the 1980s, when the country suffered from an economic crisis and massive social unrest. In an attempt to calm the population and kickstart the economy, President Ferdinand Marcos started the Labor Export Program. Katie Joaquin is an organizer at Filipino Advocates for Justice. She describes the economic situation in the Philippines today.
Because of the lack of land distribution, because of the lack of national industry, there's high joblessness, poverty, and then people are forced to leave. And they migrate at the rate of 3,800 per day. If you can imagine, that's the size of most high schools. So it's as if, you know, your entire high school population disappears one day, and it happens the next day, and the next day. It's a very abnormal situation. People will say that the number one export in the Philippines isn't pineapples, it's our people.
As many as 11 million Filipinos live outside of their country as of 2010, according to the Philippine Overseas Employment Administration. The same agency also tracks how much money expatriates send back to their families. In 2010, they sent more than $18 billion, 11% of the country's GDP. Half of that sum, $9 million, comes from Filipinos working in America. And the vast majority of them are domestic workers, a notoriously low-paying job. Mario, at the Filipino Community Center, describes why so many of his clients end up in this line of profession.
They're seen as low-wage work that will come here and do this kind of work without any complaint. Because of the conditions in the Philippines, because of the lack of a strong economy, the lack of development, the lack of basically jobs at home, these workers are fleeing at record numbers.
One of those 11 million Filipinos abroad is Roger. He came to the U.S. in 2007 to work as a welder for an American corporation. A placement company recruited Roger, but he had to pay $2,000 just to apply for the job. Even before his first day of work, he was $10,000 in debt. But soon after Roger arrived, the company declared bankruptcy. In a new country, without work, Roger took whatever jobs he could get to survive.
I am not working for my skills, or let's say the skills that I was applied here for coming here. I work as a caregiver.
Roger says while some employers treat him well, most don't. He says he's worked for 10 different facilities and has been misled with exaggerated benefits.
Most of the facility, they said before you start working or before you apply, they said they gave you orientation that it's free accommodation, it's free meals. Once you're there, you only found out that you're sleeping in the garage, you're sleeping at the couch, you don't have enough room. The food is not enough for us caregivers in a whole week.
A coalition of organizations has come together to advocate for a California Bill of Rights. This law would provide a right to meal and rest breaks as well as overtime pay to workers who take care of children, elderly, and disabled people. The organizing around the Bill of Rights for domestic workers in the Filipino community has been going on since 2008. Many caregivers have learned about their rights in the process. They've taken it upon themselves to share that information with other caregivers. For Flora, advocating for the bill has become almost like a second job.
I'm always active anytime, even if in the bus, when I happen to meet a fellow caregiver, I told them about that.
There are only a few steps left before this bill could become law. It's already gotten through the Assembly and the Senate Labor Committee, but it still needs to pass the Senate floor before it gets to the governor's table. Organizers are confident that the bill will move forward in the next few months, and they believe Governor Brown, who supported excluded workers in the past, will sign it into law. But the current political climate in Sacramento is tough, and as the 2012 election approaches, lawmakers will be more cautious when it comes to signing a bill that could be costly. Even if the Bill of Rights for domestic workers passes, struggles remain for workers like Roger, Lola, and Imelda. But the organizing efforts around the bill have already empowered them and strengthened the Filipino caregiving community. For Making Contact, I'm Lisa Bartfai.